today is my birthday, so I'm going to leave you with one of my deep dives, and it's going to be my nearly 20 odd minute deep dive into how I got my first 10,000 subscribers. It's a trip down memory lane using my YouTube back catalogue, but I hope it should be helpful to you. Thank you very much for all your birthday wishes via Twitter and everywhere else, and I'll see you next week. This is how I grew my audience to 10,000 subscribers. Thank you. Here we go. Hello and welcome back to another video. I'm Alan Spicer, your YouTube certified expert, and I've recently hit 10,000 subscribers. So no fluff, no BS, I'm gonna show you how I did it. Make sure to stay with me all the way to the end. There's some real juicy bits that I've never really deep dived into before. Now at the start of 2019, I hit 3,000 subscribers and I'd been chugging along for around about a year and a half. I'm not gonna bore you with the basics here. I did a playlist here of 5 videos telling you exactly how I did branding and analytics and things like that, but I then used those to double down in my double down strategy. So assuming you've watched that playlist, let's jump in. It has taken me 28, 29 months to get to 10,000 subscribers. Don't let anybody out there tell you that it's an immediate thing. Just because Janelle Iliana went out there and got 1.6 million subscribers within 3 weeks doesn't mean that's the same for everyone. In fact, many of your favorite YouTube educators, such as myself, have a slow growth that accelerates later. But once you've got established, once you're doing your base, like in that playlist, then you can have a look at what is working on your channel. What I did at the start of January is I had a look at my analytics. I had a look at what videos were doing well, what topics you responded to, what videos were getting me more views, and what videos were getting me more subscribers. This can help you form a two-pronged attack because you understand what gets you views and you understand what gets you subscribers. They are not always the same thing. For example, I've got a video called How to Delete Your YouTube Channel that does fantastically well for views, but of course, baked in within that is they're going to delete their channel, I'm gonna lose that subscriber. But a video that I did, which was how to add end screens on a YouTube video, does fantastically well. Not as many views, but very good engagement and subscribing because people have learned something from me and wants to stick around. Analyze your data and understand what lures people in and what makes people stick around. Because once you understand these, you can start weaving them into your style of content or your schedule. You'll notice on this channel, I have 2 types of content, maybe 3, but the core focus is either how-tos, step-by-step tutorials, this feature, click here, done. Or I have a ranty, slightly longer video where I step you through every detail like this, or where I shout at you and tell you that your videos suck, or you need to focus, you need to think of the long term. But they're very clearly different because they serve different audiences. And once you have a look at your analytics and understand that that's my view maker and that's my subscriber maker, you can then act upon that info. Time to double down. So you know what brings you your views. So write down a load of videos that would be similar. And you understand that the core focus of those videos would be to bring views and eyeballs to you. Because once they're in and you can funnel them to maybe a video that gets them to subscribe, that's your cash cow traffic. They may never subscribe, but at least you've got their eyeballs and you've got a chance to hook them. And the more you make of this view feed, the more you might convert them later. And on the other side, you write down videos that would be relevant to the makes subscribers. Now, once again, these may not get as many views, but they have a better ratio of subscribing. You're more likely to convince them. They're more likely to invest time in you. In my case, I find my longer videos get me my subscribers because they have more time to understand me, but the views are the thank you, got my fact, gone. You might find that your makeup tutorials do fantastically well for views, but your open honesty about your anxiety or depression is what buys people into your community. Now you need to balance those. So in my case, I put out the 2 types of content. I never try to put too many of them back to back because if I put out too many tutorials, how to, I lose the heart and soul of my audience and you lose that connection. I may get the views, but my subscriber rate will drop. And if I keep grabbing for subscribers too much, then the views come down, which negatively affect how much I can funnel into a subscriber video, because these do feed each other. You will see at the end of my videos where I'm like, how to delete your YouTube channel, which gets me all my views, I will try and say, whoa, please don't go away, why don't you have a look at this video? Because maybe you're deleting your YouTube channel because you don't know how to make good videos. This playlist will help you. And then that's transitioning them from a quick how-to to a more heartfelt subscriber-led hook video. Now, I have three types of content: the how-to and the longer form, or the hub and the help. Some people have hero stuff that they've created for forever, and it's the big wow. It's something that you've created over 3-4 months. It's your big Mr. Beast fills a swimming pool full of jelly. Those kind of things also have the same kind of anchor effect, but make sure that you're pushing them to where they need to go in the long run, because they'll have a different behavior of user. They will wow and they'll go out and hunt other wow videos on your channel. Whilst if you've got views pushing to a subscribe led video, that may convert better, whilst a wow might get you more media attention or more broader appeal. Okay, so you understand what gets you views, you understand what gets you subscribers, you understand what the wow effect happens to be, and you're learning how to balance them. Now you need to be honest with yourself. Look at your own videos and honestly strip out all of the emotion and try and give yourself a quick channel review. I'll step it through with you, right? But think, if you was watching this video and you were not you, how would you receive this? Is the audio okay? Is it too low? Is it too high? Tweak that and remember that next time. Am I too close to the camera? Am I too far away? Is that affecting my audio? Does that sound weird? If I'm too close, is it a bit weird and creepy? If you're doing something step by step, are you going too fast for people to follow along? Is that dropping them off? Does that mean they're pausing the video? Are you going too slowly? And it frustrates people because this video clearly should have been 1.5 to 2 minutes long. Alan, why is it 8 minutes long? That's really annoying. I'm gonna get bored. Maybe you're so excited that you're talking a bit too fast and nobody's actually getting the information that's coming out of your face and they should really be focusing. Calm. If you're talking too slow as well, that can bore people. That can seem that you're not interested. You could be saying the most interesting thing in the world. You could be telling them directly how they can make £1 million in the next 10 minutes. But you're talking slowly and it's painful and you're gone. Is it hard for people to see the video? I don't mean it has to be in 4 and 8K, but is it pleasant to watch? Is the lighting okay? Do I have to squint? Do I have to zoom in? Do I have to zoom out? At the end of the day, you need to try and make it as frictionless to watch as possible. If you're watching videos on other channels, how easy is it for you to click on their links? Do they have suggested videos in the description down below? Is there a little pop-up that reminds you to subscribe? Are you using end screens? Are you using info cards? All of these make the viewing experience much more pleasant, and those translates into longer views, which gives you higher ranks. The higher ranks is more views that funnel to more subscribe videos that get you more subscribers. If you have a base audience, these are the things that you need to consider, because they're already going to come for you, so you need to push them or angle them in a direction that gives them value, that also pushes your channel towards where you wish to go. Whether it's another 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 subscribers, whether it's that silver play button, which I hope to have on that wall one day. But you need to focus and be honest with yourself when it comes to how it's lit or how it sounds or how it plays out. Now, some of the most important things that I added to my toolkit over the last 12 months to take me from 3,000 to 10,000 subscribers is things like A-B thumbnail testing. I've done a video on A-B thumbnail testing, stepping through it, and it's somewhere in the iCard up here. But the general boiled down version of this is that you take your thumbnail and you compare it against another thumbnail that you happen to be doing. So therefore you can understand, if this one gives me a better click rate than this one, I know that that's the one I need to go with. Why is click rate so important? Well, click rate shows YouTube that it's something interesting that someone has to watch, that answers a question, that is appealing enough in the title or the thumbnail to hook them through. If you then drag them into a session and keep them entertained for a period of time, just like on the previous checklist where you have to go through and have a look at your audio and have a look at your video, if you manage to hook them, deliver on what you're promising in the title and the thumbnail, and take them all the way through to the end, YouTube then goes, ah, that's a good video. But you have to hook it first. You could make the world's best sandwich, but unless you explain on the packaging of the sandwich what's in that sandwich, people will avoid it. Imagine if the iPhone was just launched in a white box with none of the features around it. Bad example. You need to make something appealing. If everyone's thumbnails were just blank white thumbnails, nobody would click on them, or everyone would focus more on the titles, and then even then the titles can be clickbaity. The thumbnail is the eye into the video, and under new recent changes on the YouTube homepage, they're going to get bigger as well. So you need to put important things in that thumbnail that tell them immediately what's in the thumbnail and in the video. With me, it's normally my face, so you know it's me, or it's a picture that is related to the text that is on the left or the right hand side. So you will notice in some of my recent videos, if you're looking to report a YouTube video, I've done the report button and then the text saying how to report a YouTube channel. That's very contextual. That's very, here's the text, this is what you will see. Now the A/B thumbnail testing from TubeBuddy, with a link in the description down below, helps you do all of that statistical legwork, because previously you'd have to set the thumbnail, write down all the stats of the previous original thumbnail, let it run for 28 days, set it back to the original thumbnail, and then compare the two between click-through rates and views and session watch time and playlist ads and likes and comments, etc., etc., etc. The advantage of using the TubeBuddy tool it's fantastic. I go through, I pick some of the least performing videos, ones that are getting 20, 30, 50 views a day, and they're doing really well because they're just plodding through on traffic. But if I can convert the click-through rate and upgrade it from 3% to 8%, that's the difference between 3 views out of 100 and 8 views out of 100, or 30 views and 80 views out of 1,000. Now, the YouTube algorithm says, okay, so it's getting 80 views out of every 1,000 clicks, rather than the 30. That means it's a little bit more interesting. Maybe we should have a look and have a look at the analytics, see where they're going, see. It triggers YouTube to rethink and readjust how important you or that video is, and then start to spread it out and advise it to other people. That is how I get some of my videos to start with absolutely no views, and then over time they creep up and creep up and bang! I mean, I'm gonna flick through a load of graphs in front of my face that have done just that. They started with meh from my initial subscriber base, maybe a few hundred, right? And then over time, they've added an extra 50, 100, 150 a day, and then bang, out of nowhere, they've become some of the most powerful videos on my channel, becoming view makers or subscriber makers, just like I discussed previously in the whole doubling down. One thing that's often overlooked is the ability to convert people further on. So you've got their view, you've done the A/B thumbnail testing, you've got them to click through, which means they're engaged in that topic. Have a look at how you are frictionlessly transitioning them to something else. You may have a fantastic title, you may have a fantastic description, but then you just leave people there alone. Maybe you reply to comments, but you're missing out on something really, really easy that can continue to push people further. Not everyone will read your description, I get that. Not everyone will read your comments, I understand that. But some people do, and maybe if they're really intrigued in the video that you're making, you put in the description down below a few videos that are related. So in this case, I will list every video that I comment about. So I'll put in the A/B thumbnail testing, I'll put in links and descriptions, I'll put in end cards, I'll put in the playlist that got me to 3,000 subscribers. That way, the most engaged people that are actively reading the description, who are more likely to click, then have a selection, a buffet of things that are related. Because they've watched this extended video, they're more than willing to click on the next one and click on the next one. It also takes it out of the hands of the algorithm, who might push them away from your channel. You can serve them something that is related. You can teach the algorithm that they watch this, and then they watch the A/B thumbnail testing. They watch this, and then they watch the playlist where I teach you in 5 videos how to get more subscribers using branding and analytics and asking, etc. Not only can you do that in the descriptions down below, but you can also pin them to the start of your comments. People are going to interact with you, people want to talk to you, and you can pin any comment at the top. And what I do is I ask a question relevant to my video, and then I pin relevant videos underneath. They may not be willing to thumb through your description, but if they go down to the comment section to leave a comment, they might want to click on, oh, that's the video where he talks about that feature. Click. Done. Once again, that's you pushing your control in some way, shape or form over the traffic flow on your channel. They come to that video for your views, you double down, you push them into a video that gives you subscriber, view, convert, subscriber, you're on your way. Now, along with the A/B thumbnail testing that I use from TubeBuddy, I also use their weighted and unweighted results when it comes to their search terms. So many times before I hit even 3,000 subscribers, I'd write a title in my head and I think, okay, that's good enough, it's got a keyword in it, and it kind of extends, and it's long tail. I'll make sure I put that in the tags. What you can do is use the TubeBuddy weighted and unweighted feature to understand how good that keyword actually is, how much competition there is, how much search, how many videos are in that area, and then how much search monthly. Why is that important? Well, I am not PewDiePie, I am not Nick Niman, I am not Roberto Blake, I am not Daryl Eves. I hold them in high regard and esteem, but I know that if I was to head-to-head compete with Roberto Blake on a set topic with a set keyword, he'll win, because the algorithm are used to him or his built-up authority in that area. But if I tackle something that has slightly less search volume and slightly less competition, so instead of there being 20 million videos, there's 100,000 videos, and instead of there being 1.8 million searches on that specific topic, there's, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, or even less, that's a much more winnable topic. In fact, that may even be a topic that the slightly big boys have left be. That's why I get traffic through my how-to tutorials, because I teach you the bare minimum all the way through to this extended version where I deep dive into things. Because if you can win the smaller terms, the slightly easier ones to rank for, your channel builds up authority and YouTube starts to trust you and trust you and trust you and trust you. And in 3 years' time, Roberto Blake, I'm going to get that search term from you, because I would have Lego bricked authority, views, watch time, search traffic, and made it easier for me. So what I do with TubeBuddy is I go in, I type a key phrase, and I search. It will then tell me how weighted it happens to be and how unweighted. Weighted takes all of the stats on my channel and teaches me, for your channel, that would do well, but for a channel that isn't your channel, it might be slightly harder. And what you can do is take on that knowledge and maybe tweak the keyword a little bit. Add on mobile or in 2010 or 2020. Tweak the keyword, maybe use some of the suggested on the right-hand side. Really drill into it, and then that way, your title, instead of it being a very highly competitive keyword, is extended by a few words, but makes you much more competitive, gives you a chance to hook some authority and slowly climb your way up that net into a bigger channel, a bigger footprint, and much more respected and trusted by the YouTube algorithm. Here's something that I've adopted myself fairly recently: subtitles. I always used to try and manually enter my subtitles. I've recently taught you how to do it using a company called Rev.com. There'll be a card up here or a link in the description down below. And you can do it manually. Once again, a link in the description down below of how you can do it manually and save you the money. But you know, there is a £10 discount or dollar discount, so anyway, not trying to sell you things, I promise. The idea is that the metadata gives YouTube something extra to nibble on. So you, against an identical video, uploaded at the same time, covering the same topics with the same words, if you have subtitles, you'll possibly beat them out. You give them more subtitles, and it gives you the ability to introduce other people to your videos that wouldn't be able to see the copy elsewhere that doesn't have the subtitles. Let's say you're Katrina and you're currently living in Mexico and you want to read Spanish, or you can only understand Spanish but you want to read English subtitles and learn the language. If I put the subtitles up here, you can read along, you can take as long as you wish to understand, or maybe you can't listen because you're on a train but you still want to learn the information. No matter where you happen to be, the subtitles will teach you what I am talking to you about, and therefore you'll watch possibly for longer, because most people reading the subtitles do, which then helps with watch time. It also helps with retention, because people are engaged more when they're having to read. Do you ever find when you're watching that subtitled thing on Netflix, you're much more focused because you have to read it rather than, you know, I heard the actor say those words and I'm not really looking at the screen but I understand what I'm doing. It's the same with YouTube videos. At the end of the day, take out the friction. The easier it is to consume your content, whether it's in audio format, whether it's visually, whether they can read it, brilliant. Any chance that you can give a nudge to the YouTube algorithm that says, hi, you know, this channel is doing better than the slightly other one, you will get promoted over it. The longer you can keep them hooked, the better it is, because the higher the retention, the more intriguing and interesting that video is. So you rank higher and higher and higher and climb up towards beating Roberto Blake in the search traffic later. Hi, Roberto. Niche matching. Now, I have been posting some Adobe Premiere Pro videos recently, and I deliberately went out of my way to join Adobe Premiere Pro Facebook groups and posted them in there. Then for learners, then for beginners, then for experts. I've matched a video to a niche and posted it to the niche. I've engaged in that niche. I initially did that with all of these videos. how-to tutorials for small YouTubers. I went and joined small YouTuber groups and got to know people, and you probably found my videos through those small YouTuber groups, but you can double down on the idea and get very specific. Maybe you are a daily vlogger and then you went to a fast food restaurant. Maybe post that to mukbang forums where they see you eating that food. You then go home and make the same recipe at home. So instead of just posting it to a vlog forum and vloggers forums, you can now post it to a mukbang forum and to a cooking forum, because you're teaching them how to cook that recipe. And maybe even Thai food, and maybe even free takeaway at home recipes, and how to save money recipes. You're now niching down, you're double downing on the content and where you are sharing. It gets very specific. The traffic may be less, but it's much more committed. I found that very much so with my Adobe Premiere Pro stuff. I've uploaded 3 videos that says how you can edit in 4K, how you can edit in HD, and how you can do the auto like focus and auto framing things. Once again, videos in the description down below. But those, because I posted them to the Adobe Premiere groups, continue to have life with those people because they are so hyper relevant that people continue to talk on them. That gets me the traffic. In fact, that's possibly how you found me. Hello. And that's what you can do. All you have to do is constantly rip apart what you've done and think of every fine detail of where that could be another interest group. Make yourself interesting and people will find you. Now, if you want to learn how to get 3,000 subscribers, the playlist is here. If you want to make better videos, it is here. All other links in the description down below. Thank you for getting me to 10,000 subscribers. I will not let you down. Let's see if we can get that silver plate. Thank you for listening to the Start Creating podcast. If you want more tips, tricks and advice from Alan Spicer, that's me, then go to youtube.com/AlanSpicer and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. See you soon. Go out there, start creating.